And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, we're moving into a new age, a new era here in the year 2009. And by the way, this is prophetically, in terms of the occult world, a numerologically important year. You see, 2009 itself, they never count the zeros in occult numerology. So it would be 2 times 9 equals 18. And 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 18. This is the year of the beast. And I wonder, and I'm talking about, of course, Revelation 13, the Antichrist, the beast of prophecy, the one who comes up out of the earth and causes all, that means he's a man. He's a human being. But he causes all the world to worship the first beast who came before him, who in fact is not man, but is Satan, the devil, in many different disguises. So this beast in Revelation 13 rises up from the earth. He causes all men to take a mark in their right hand or their forehead, and to receive the number of the beast, which of course is 666. The Bible says that number is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, am I implying that Barack Obama is the Antichrist? Not at all. In fact, I believe Barack Obama is a stooge and a servant of the High Council of World Jewry. That's J-E-W-R-Y. The mafia, and there is a Jewish mafia, absolutely a world mob that runs this world, have chosen this young man, this 47-year-old, I believe it is, Barack Obama, and they've groomed him from the time he was a little boy. I believe Barack Obama was an illegitimate child. He lived for the most part with his grandparents, and last week, as you know, we talked about the sordid past of poor little Barack Obama, and I mean that sincerely. I have sympathy for him. In his own book, Dreams of My Father, he talks about a mysterious, let's just call him an uncle, who was given almost free rein with Barack Obama as a little boy living over in Hawaii. An uncle he called Frank, who, as we know, his real name was Frank Marshall Davis, who was a pedophile, a homosexual, a bisexual, author of the book Sex Rebel Black. He was a black man who in that book, Sex Rebel Black, which he claimed to be an autobiographical novel, claimed to have met a couple who had come from Seattle, the Seattle area of Washington, and he was stalking a public park in the Honolulu, Hawaii area, and they too were looking for something, a swinger experience. And this black man, Frank, who Obama talks about in his book, evidently met this couple. And they had sex for several days, the threesome. And then, of course, this Frank became, as it turns out, became a mentor to young Barack Obama. A sordid tale indeed. Was the couple from Seattle, in fact, the grandparents of Barack Obama? We know they came from Seattle, from Mercer Island in the Seattle area. We know that basically Barack Obama's trollop of a mother abandoned him to his grandparents. We know that Frank Marshall Davis was a member of the Communist Party USA that has been established, and that this person, Frank, that Brahma called, was the mentor, because Barack Obama says he was my mentor and that he taught him many things about politics and the world at the side, almost at the feet of Frank, sex rebel Black. Now, regardless of that fact, and by the way, last week I want to mention that I called Obama a white boy and a Black man. Some people no doubt were offended, but let me explain that. He's biracial, and he seems to be, in one sense, a stable man. If you just had met him on the street, a stable Black man. And personally, my personal opinion is, and I'll probably get criticized for this as well, but a Black man or white man of true substance, of true intelligence and wisdom, with God as their guide, would no doubt be a great president of the United States. And I give to Barack Obama credit for being really a very intelligent person, very likable person, very personable, a man, educated. And the race thing is not important at all to me, because I would vote for a Black or a Chinese or a Mexican American president just as quick as I would a white president. And again, I'll probably be criticized for that. But, you know, again, you have to judge the character and the content of a person's heart and their mind and their goals and what they believe about the Constitution of the United States and how they intend to faithfully execute the laws that apply according to the Constitution. That's my acid test, not a race. But remember, it was Abner Mikva, a super rich Jewish lawyer from Chicago, who took young Barack Obama out of college, this Abner Mikva, and made him what he is today. It is this same Abner Mikva who was the crooked, corrupt lawyer who was White House counsel in the White House under Bill Clinton and helped to cover up during the impeachment proceedings the Monica Lewinsky perjury. That same one, Abner Mikva, was the mentor, as was Frank Marshall, the communist. You see, the Black communist took over the grooming of young Barack Obama during his formative years in junior high school and high school. And then he came to the United States and went to the finest universities and to Harvard. And then he was sent to Chicago by the Illuminati elite, where Abner Mikva and other Jewish elite continued the job of mentoring him. Another person that mentored Barack Obama was Rahm the Cruel Emanuel. He too served in the White House under Bill Clinton. And he was so fearsome and so powerful an influence, so dictatorial and so evil and sinister that according to Dick Morris, himself Jewish, who was at the time the chief political advisor to Bill Clinton as president, Dick Morris has said recently on Fox News on the Bill O'Reilly Factor show that Bill Clinton told him, "I am afraid of him. I'm afraid of Rahm Emanuel." You see, Rahm Emanuel was supposedly just another advisor at the White House. He had his little office down the hall from the Oval Office. But they always wondered why it was that even the Vice President of the United States had to get an appointment and wait sometimes a week in advance to go in to see the President. But Rahm Emanuel walked in and out without any notice at all. He would walk right past the secretary, go in, close the door, and come back out, and everybody marveled at the influence, power of Rahm the Cruel. Dick Morris said President Clinton was afraid of him. And now he has been chosen to be the White House Chief of Staff. Now, I've already exposed the fact that this same Rahm Emanuel of the Mikvah gang in Chicago, this same corrupt Rahm Emanuel was the one who cobbled together the Wall Street Congress agreement to give a $700 billion bailout. That same Rahm Emanuel as a congressman from Illinois. It was that same congressman, Rahm Emanuel, who along with the young state legislator, Barack Obama, you see by that time he had been chosen and placed in the legislature, and the woman who held that particular seat in the Illinois legislature, a liberal Democrat named Alice Palmer, was told to step aside and let Obama have her seat. And it was the same Obama and this same Rahm the Cruel Emanuel who met repeatedly in the home of Obama, which, by the way, Barack Obama's home there in Illinois, worth over $1 million, some say $2.5 million, just happens to be located just across the street from one of Chicago's most powerful, rich Jewish synagogues. What a coincidence. He was given a home by Tony Rezko, a mobster who now has been indicted for various corruption crimes. They don't always get away with it, I suppose. But Obama's home just happens to be located across the street from the Jewish synagogue. And get this, it's not in a black neighborhood. It's not in a Gentile neighborhood. The home, the reason the synagogue sits right across the street from Barack Obama, they're almost the same, Rahm and Barack. Right across the street from Obama's home, where he and Michelle and their kids live, the reason the synagogue is there is because it's a Jewish neighborhood. Barack Obama lives in a Jewish neighborhood. He lives with the Jews. And so it was that in the Chicago Tribune, and I want to give you the information here because so many people say, "Tex Mars, this is incredible." Obviously, you're lying. Obviously, you made this up. Well, a lot of people call into the ministry here and they say, where does Tex Mars get his information? Well, you know, there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of information. But I depend on the Holy Spirit to tell me where to go to get it. Sometimes it's just sitting at your fingertips. Take this, for example, from the Chicago Tribune newspaper, the ChicagoTribune.com. An article by Tom Hunley, that's H-U-N-D-L-E-Y, dated December 12, 2008. Now you can find it on the ChicagoTribune.com. Chicago Tribune. The top newspaper there in Chicago, owned, by the way, by a billionaire Jewish man named Sam Zell, Z-E-L-L. But the Chicago Tribune has his article entitled, Barack Obama, the First Jewish President. Chicago Jewish Circle nurtured him all the way to the top, it says. The first Jewish president. That's what the Jews of Chicago say. He's our man. He's our boy. And there lies the reason I call him the little white boy. He may be a black man, but to the Jews, he's their little white boy. He's their Uncle Tom's kid. Say, Tex, now you're really prejudiced for something. I'm telling you the truth. I wish he were a black man. I know a lot of black people that would probably be fine presidents because they're not the Jew's little boy. I would like him to be a black man. I'd like him to stand up. In fact, I'd just like him to be America's president. President of white people and black people. And in that instance, I don't care whether his name is Wong or Goldstein or Thompson. And I don't know. I don't care what he is. I don't care if he's Gonzalez. I just want him to stand up for America and not be the Jew's little boy. So, yeah, he's biracial, all right. He's a black man and the Jew's little white boy. And why did I call him a boy? Because they tell him what to do. He's their Stepan Fetchit. And isn't that a shame? That the first man who racially appears to be black, who appears to be a president who could put aside all the racial divides in America, and wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? If we could finally have equality of opportunity. Notice I didn't say equality, because you'll never have equality, because some people work harder, work smarter. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why we're unequal, but there should be, at least I believe, it would be so wonderful to have equality of opportunity. Barack Obama, the first Jewish president. What a cut. What an insult. But that's what they're quoting these high-level Jews in Chicago. It says here, Abner Mikva, this I'm reading to you from the article, Abner Mikva, the Chicago Democratic Party stalwart and former Clinton White House counsel, says, quote, if Clinton was our first black president, remember how he always cozied up to the blacks and went to black churches, favored the blacks so much that he was called the first black president. That's what he was dubbed. Well, Mikva, this corrupt Jewish attorney, one of the big wigs of, in Jewish circles throughout the world, says, if Clinton was our first black president, then Barack Obama is our first Jewish president. I use a Yiddish expression, Yiddish neshuma, to describe him, explains Mikva. It means a Jewish soul. Someone who understands. Oh, yes. Understands why the Jews need to go in, torture, kill, rampage, murder thousands of Palestinians. Understands how they've taken over Wall Street and the media of America, and now the White House. Now, today, I want to talk about this a little bit. Now, I want to just close by saying, now you understand what I mean. I would like him to stand on his 2 feet as a black man and say, I'm president of all the people. I could go for that. But instead, the Jews are telling the truth here. I don't believe Abner Mikva is lying. He's known this young man, Barack Obama, since he got out of university. And in fact, I suspect Mikva and the others have known this guy since he was trained and groomed by Uncle Frank, the sexual pedophile from Waikiki, Hawaii. And he says, or they say, He's our first Jewish president. He's going to represent the Jews. You see, some black people say, I wish he would represent us, the black people. I'm sure Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton say, yeah, he's our first black president. He's going to represent us. You're out of luck, Jesse. You're out of luck, Al. He's not going to represent the black people. He don't care about you. He's a Jew. Well, not by DNA, far as I know. But he's got a Jewish soul. Abner Mikva. How do you have a Jewish soul? It's been trained and indoctrinated into you. And what is Judaic values composed of but communist values? Judaism is communism. You say, oh, Tex, that's crazy. Well, that was what Rabbi Stephen Wise said back during the FDR era. Judaism is communism. They are practitioners and believers in communism, which, as George Orwell so carefully told us in his, and very masterfully, by the way, in his book, 1984, but especially Animal Farm. What did the pigs say? All the animals said we're supposed to be equals. But why are you pigs running everything? Well, says Master Pig, of course we're all equal, but some of us are more equal than others. That's in America today, friends. We're all equal, but the Jews are more equal than the others. They have the money. They have the power. They have the media. Now they have the White House because their little Uncle Tom's boy, Uncle Tom's kid, is the first Jewish president. And they're so proud of it, they're trumpeting it to the whole world. Of course, how many people read the Chicago Tribune? And how many read that article? And how many really understand it to its depth? Do you understand it? I think many people do who listen to this program regularly. I think you do. Now, I want to talk today about Obama's cabinet. You know, the Bible says very carefully that those with whom we associate really tell a story about us. The old saying is not in the Bible, but it makes sense, and it really is scriptural. Birds of a feather flock together. Jesus talked about eagles. It's a strange thing. He was asked about the last days and things like where will it happen? How will it happen? When will it happen? When do we know that we can see it? He says, where the eagles are gathered, there will the carcass be. There will be death. Death! That's the New World Order of death. Where the eagles gather. Isn't that a strange thing? Eagles? Well, the eagle's supposed to be a majestic bird. And it is. Except when it's a perverted eagle. Then it becomes a vulture. And it feasts on human flesh. If it gets the opportunity. And believe me, these eagles that are gathering now are after the carcass, after death. Because the Bible says, all they who hate me, that's God speaking, love death. And I believe Obama and Rahm the Cruel and Abner Mikva and all the others of the high Jewish circle love death. Now, the time remaining on this program, I would like to talk about the cabinet and the appointees of Barack Obama. Because I want you to understand that if you believe in change, I want you to consider Obama's new cabinet. He has assembled a presidential cabinet and a White House advisory staff and these high-level appointees to run America's business. And listen to this, my friends. Bill Clinton and even Ronald Reagan before him and George Bush Sr. all depended on members of the Council on Foreign Relations, of the Trilateral Commission, and the Bilderbergers, all these secret societies and groups, even the Bohemian Grove, to take care of America's business. Actually, the Zionist business. That's what they took care of. The rest of us, they figured, can go to blazes. They still feel that way. Today we're going to look at Obama's mind-boggling White House rogues gallery. Why do I call it mind-boggling? Because he told us that our hopes would not be in vain as a presidential candidate. This man, Barack Obama, told us he would give us change. But we have the same old rogues gallery of outlaws and outrageous characters. We have the same CFR goons, the same trilats or trilateralists, the same Bilderbergers and Bohemian Grovers, and of course, the usual cast of Clintonistas. That's what we call them, you know, the Clintonistas. And they're there already all prepared to ravage and quote unquote change America. And boy, you're not going to like this change. I believe they are going to oversee the Sovietization of America. Now, I did an audio tape some time ago. It's on CD also, called The Sovietization of America. I want you to have that. It's incredible. The Sovietization of America. It's just $8, add $4 shipping and handling. The Sovietization of America. Because, in fact, what we have with Obama's appointees, his selections, is not change at all. It's the same old, tired, evil, sinister group of secret society elite that has driven America into the ground and intends now to bring about the North American Union, the AMERO, and all the other accoutrements of the New World Order, which is intended to be the great Jewish utopia, in which a small element of the Jews, not even all the Jews, because most of the Jews will be destroyed because they're just not a superior enough people, according to the high level of Jews. So even many of the Jews will be destroyed in the coming arrangements. That's the way it always is. There's no honor among thieves. And if you're a Jew and you say, well, I'm looking forward to this Jewish kingdom on earth. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You may be looking at it from afar, from prison bars and a gulag concentration camp, even if your name is Goldman or Steinberg or Copperstone. That's right. There's no honor among thieves, liars, murderers. And they even do it to their fellow Jews. Well, we've got what now? On this side, about 30 seconds, Sandra. Okay, Sandra's over there doing all the little things with all these knobs and such here in the studio. So we're going to take a little break now. And when we come back, I'm going to introduce you to the men and women that Obama has assembled to be our White House administration. And you will be amazed. Oh, my. Oh, my. The Sovietization of America is at hand. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. And I'll be right back after this brief message. Hey, friends. Tex Mars again here. You know, before I offer you a book and a audio tape CD that we have for you today, I just want to thank those of you who were so good and so kind and so loving as to give to our Children's Home Project. Our Children's Home Project. You know, we received over, all in all, around $10,000. And every cent of it, as we've promised you, goes to the Children's Home Project and to the Boys Ranch. And so I just want to thank you. And You know, I came to work yesterday, and there were all these little cards and some letters and such that had come in, where these young children, and I'm sure they were helped by their house parents at the children's home. I call it the orphan's home and the boys' ranch. And they were just so thankful. And one of the house parents told us that they actually cried when they got our help. They could not believe. They said, you, Tex Mars and a staff of Power of Prophecy Ministries, you just cannot imagine how our hearts lifted when we received this help. It meant all the difference in their world, they said. It was totally unexpected. You know, the Bible talks about pure religion. Did you know that, friends? It actually defines pure religion. Now, I know that true worship is the worship of Jesus Christ, our Lord. But pure religion is something else. And the Bible says that pure religion is caring for the widows and the orphans. Isn't that interesting? Caring for the widows and the orphans is pure, undefiled religion. It's interesting. Now, I'm not saying that if you do that, you're on your way, you got a ticket to heaven, because that requires a belief, a trust in Jesus Christ, and, you know, obedience to Him, giving up your life, repenting of your sins. But pure religion, undefiled, is caring for widows and orphans. Isn't that interesting? Well, you know, the Bible is a wonderful instrument of great truth and wisdom. The Bible also says that some of us have entertained angels unawares. Did you know that, friends? There was a lady who dropped by the ministry last week, and it's very cold now, and America's having the coldest winter on record, they say. And on a pretty cold day here, we don't have it as cold as they do up north here in Austin, Texas, but she came and she brought a couple of bags of things, and that was unexpected, and they were knitted shawls. She knitted all these shawls. She says, I did this for the kids and for the house parents. She knitted these shawls. Lovingly knitted each one, done by her with her hands. I suppose she could have gone and bought, you know, Chinese-made goods or something at Walmart or something. But she put love into these things. Now, I want to propose to you, who knows? Was that lady, she just came in, she's, I've got these things for you, and there she was. Was she an angel? Well, I don't know, in human form. Did we entertain an angel unaware? And when you gave to this ministry, to the children's home, were you acting in the guise of an angel? Maybe. Well, you know, I think God will give an angelic award, a reward to you for your kindness. Okay, enough said on that, but I wanted you to know that from the deepest part of my heart. It means a lot to us. We received more this year than we've received any year. Every year, the fund grows, and we appreciate it so much. And I know the kids and the house parents do. Now, today's offering, the little book, Behind Communism, by Frank Britton. It'll tell you about the Sovietization of Russia, and how a small band of criminal Jews took hold of that great empire, and it resulted in tens of millions purged, tortured miserably. Gulag concentration camps set up. Freedoms taken away. The Sovietization of Russia. But who were the communists? You need to know this, because they're now here. They're not dead, they're alive. These communists, oh, they may be dead in their hearts and in their souls, but in human form, they're devils and they're alive. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, I quoted him last week. He said, in a Russia today, because we have now have a new regime there,
and they've overthrown the Jews. He says in Russia today, communism is a dead dog. But in America, said Solzhenitsyn, one of the 20th century's greatest historian and writers, Solzhenitsyn, this Russian dissident who spent many years of suffering and misery in a gulag concentration camp himself, where he was a prisoner and an inmate. He said, in Russia today, communism is a dead dog, but in America, it's a living lion. And Peter in the Bible, the apostle Peter said, it's the devil who stalks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Behind communism. Now, that's only $10 and add $4 for shipping and handling. Order also, please order the CD or audio tape. So make sure you tell us which one you want. The old format audio tape, cassette tape, or the CD of the Sovietization of America, where I explain exactly what is happening in America. And you know, I did that CD, that audio tape, before Barack Obama even ran for president. So I want you to know that. But it still stands good today. It's what's happening right now, right before our eyes. It is $8. Please add $4 shipping and handling for that as well. You can use your charge card. Call us toll free, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673. Or you can write to us, Power of Prophecy, 1708-1708, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Say, text, here's $14 postpaid for Behind Communism, or here's $12 postpaid for the Sovietization of America. If you misspell it, I understand. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. The Sovietization of America. All right. By the way, powerofprophecy.com, you can order those also on our website. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the CFR goons, the trilateralists, the Bilderbergers, the Bohemians, and the Clintonistas that populate the Obama White House cabinet. Let's talk about them. First of all, I want you to understand that the media are not going to tell you the truth about these perverts, these, well, whatever. And why? Well, look at it. Brian Williams, anchor of NBC News, he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Katie Couric, perky little Katie Couric, CBS anchor, newswoman, she's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Oh, they have these token people. PBS, well, surely they're honest. Surely they're straightforward. Public Broadcasting System, a lot of our taxpayer dollars go into that. Oh, yeah, sure. Jim Lehrer, Judy Woodruff, Margaret Warner, all of PBS Network, all members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And I could keep going on and on and on. But let's go right away to Obama's cabinet. First of all, let's start with the gay ladies. The gay ladies. Janet Napolitano. Mm-hmm. She's going to be the new Homeland Security Director. She's presently governor of Arizona, where the Arizona people tell me she's a flaming lesbian. Now she's Homeland Security Director. That's FEMA. That's Immigration and Customs Enforcement. That's the U.S. Secret Service. She's going to be head of all of them. This flaming member of the CFR, that's right, Janet Napolitano. And then there's Hillary. You know, I wrote a book, Big Sister is Watching You, and you know what that book said. It proved the fact that Hillary is a lesbian and a New Age occultist to boot. And now she's our Secretary of State. That was a little deal the Jewish High Council decided on, and Obama couldn't get out of it. They told him what to do. It's not that he loves Hillary Rodham Clinton. It's that he had to do it. She's the Secretary of State. She was chosen by the Rockefeller Rothschild mikvah clique. Then there's the Education Secretary. Nobody's ever heard of him before, but the people of Chicago did. He's the guy, Arne Duncan, head of the Chicago school system, and now he's going to be head of the Education Department of the U.S. government. Who is he? Well, he's the guy that has proposed and has funded an all-gay high school for Chicago's public schools. It's called Pride Campus. Pride Campus. And you have to be a lesbian, a gay man or student, or a bisexual, or a transgender. They now call it LGBT. You have to be an LGBT person to enroll at Pride Campus. Thanks to Arne Duncan. And that's what they want to do for all of America. Well, you know, I think that's a good idea. Actually, let's have a campus just for LGBTs. In fact, I think every school district ought to have a campus, Pride, just for the gays and the queers and the transgenders and all the other perverts. Get them out of the regular public school systems. Put them in their own school system so they can't influence our little kids and rape and plunder our kids. He's being criticized because he's so pro-gay. Now he's education secretary. But in this particular instance, I'm going to compliment the guy. Somebody asked me, what about Obama's promise to now fully integrate gays in the military, to get rid of the don't ask, don't tell policy, just let all the gays and the transgenders in the military that want to come in. I think it's great. I'm for it. In fact, I want it to go one step further. I want them to have their own battalions and regiments and squadrons. Segregate them from the straits. Get them out of the straits. Don't let them plunder and rape and pillage the young men and women of America that are real soldiers and real airmen and real Marines and so forth. I think we ought to have a gay battalion. Let them associate. Let them have gay officers. Hey, give them a gay general. I mean, we've already got these gay lesbian generals that lie and say, I'm not a lesbian. Then after they retired, after making general, she comes out with her butch haircut and says, by the way, ho, 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 I'm a gay. I've been gay all these years. Been, you know, having sex with women, soldiers all these years. Ha, ha, ha. That's what they do. That's happened. Go ahead and give them their own battalion and send them, since they're so eager to push the Jewish agenda of war in the Middle East, I think send the gay battalion first. Send them to the front lines to fight whoever is chosen by Rom the Cruel. In fact, I'd like to have Rom the Cruel, who used to be, I'm told, a ballerina dancer, have the ballerina Israeli citizen who served in the Israeli military, Rom the Cruel, and now is White House Chief of Staff, have him be the leader of the gay battalion. And send them right over on the front lines fighting the Muslims in a great crusade. The gay Jewish battalion led by Rom the Cruel fighting some Muslim Saladin. Wouldn't that be neat? Whew, that'd be great. By the way, at his inaugural, the pastor who's going to have the little invocational prayer is Rick Warren, the purpose-driven man of Saddleback Community Church in California. Rick Warren said, I love gays. Well, of course, yeah. Naturally, you would, Rick. Of course, gays, because Rick evidently is not for gay marriage, which is odd since he loves gays so much. But he says, I'm not for gay marriage, though. The gays are upset about it. Why should they be? The guy's ecumenical. He believes it doesn't matter what religion you have. And Rick Warren is a member of, yes, indeed, the Council on Foreign Relations. I think he's a perfect choice. Well, let's go on some more now. Let's see. Eric Holder, Attorney General, CFR man. He was in the White House during the Clinton administration at the Justice Department, worked for old Janice Reno, Mrs. Butch. He was the one that oversaw those questionable pardons as deputy and acting attorney general. You know, all those gangsters, crooks, mafia types, and that Jewish criminal, Mark Rich, and the others that all got pardons by Bill Clinton, paid for most of them. Yeah, well, Eric Holder, that was him. We really have changed now. He was a Clinton crook, and now he's the Obama crook. By the way, he's a lobbyist for big drugs, pharmacy, Merck. Merck paid him millions to be their lobbyist. Now you just know he's going to really go in and go after the drugs, those crooked drug companies. He was a lobbyist for Merck, the big pharma company. But wait, I'm sure he'll go after cigarettes, that evil tobacco. Well, no, he was also a lobbyist, high-paid lobbyist for Philip Morris Tobacco Company. Well, he'll make sure we have good food. I mean, this guy as attorney general will go after those corrupt food companies. Well, wait. He was also a paid lobbyist for Chiquita brand fruits and vegetables. And by the way, Eric Holder is a very close friend of Rod Blagojevich, governor of Illinois. Let's see, who else do we have? Secretary of Interior is Senator Ken Salazar. You Mexican-Americans do a couple flip-flops when I give those names like that, okay? Now, he's a former environmental lawyer. Oh, that's what we need, an environmental lawyer as Secretary of Interior. And by the way, he was a big pal of the crooked guy who approved the torture and the gulags as Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez in the Bush administration. In fact, when Gonzalez was nominated, he not only endorsed him, a Republican now, as Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez, Mr. Torture himself, but he sat there by his side during the Senate confirmation hearings. That same Ken Salazar is now Secretary of Interior. Let's go over to Commerce Secretary. Again, all Mexican-Americans who love Obama, please, at this time, do a flip-flop. Are you finished with it? Okay, good. Because Bill Richardson, another Hispanic member of the CFR, former governor of New Mexico, favorer of illegal immigration, is the Commerce Secretary. He's the guy that helped to cover up the Monica Lewinsky thing. He's a Bilderberger and a member of the Bohemian Grove both. Then there's the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack from Mid-America. Well, he's going to clean up those genetically bioengineered food, isn't he? He supports biologically modified food. In fact, he sponsored bills to give favored treatment to Monsanto, the chemical company that has the new genetically modified seeds. Read about it in my book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. Tom Vilsack is his name. He was the Monsanto man on the spot in Congress. And now he's Secretary of Agriculture, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission. Oh, let's go. Boy, I'm having so much fun here. Let's see who else have we have. Ray LaHood. He's a Republican. You see, Obama says, I'm going to appoint Republicans and Democrats. This is going to be a wonderful bipartisan. Well, hey, the Illuminati are bipartisan. There's no such thing as a Republican and Democrat. They're all Illuminati stooges. Okay. Well, Ray LaHood is now the Secretary of Transportation. He's a Rahm Emanuel lackey from where? Well, Chicago. Actually, the Illinois area. Now, we got a mess on Wall Street. We need a good head of the Securities Exchange Commission. And we got a woman now that he's chosen named Mary Shapiro, a Jew. All those Wall Street positions are going to be Jews. All the moneyed positions will be Jews. They always are. Paul Volcker is one of the economic advisors to Obama. He was head of the Federal Reserve before. He's Jewish. And then there's Ben Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve. Well, Jewish. Then there's this Mary Shapiro. Now she's going to be head of the Securities Exchange Commission. She says she believes in self-regulation of Wall Street. Oh, I thought Obama was going to bring us close control. He was going to sock it to those Wall Street crooks. The Wall Street Merrill Lynchers, the Bank of America, you know, the old Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, retreads. But wait, she's now head of an industry group called the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. But they don't regulate anything. They're owned by the industry. They're not even a governmental organization. She's head of it now. She also was chairwoman of the U.S. Commodities Futures Trading Commission. She helped cover up people like the Madoff scandal. She helped cover that up. She was in the head of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission in charge of watching out for America during the time of Enron, WorldCom, Global Crossing. She's a crook. Mary Shapiro, she's head of the SEC. But let's keep going here. The new Treasury Secretary is a man named Timothy Geithner. Is this change? Can we hope for change? Well, not quite. You see, he's a lobbyist with Kissinger and Associates. He's with the Ford Foundation. He was Undersecretary of the Treasury, taking orders from Larry Summers, who was Secretary of the Treasury under Bill Clinton. He was in the Clinton White House. He worked for Robert Rubin, also Secretary of the Treasury. He's a member of the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. He's been working these last years with very close with Henry Paulson, former head of Goldman Sachs. In fact, he's the guy that supervised the Bear Stearns sale with taxpayers' money to J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. Timothy Geithner. And what is he also, right now, what is his big position? Right now, what qualifies him? In addition to all these other criminal positions, he's currently, or he was until he became Treasury Secretary, when he's confirmed here, president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank. My goodness gracious. Oh, boy, boy, boy. Then there's Susan Rice. Let's see, what position is she going to be? Let's see, Susan Rice. Oh, I'll get in a minute here. They're just all so... Susan Rice. Oh, yes, United Nations Ambassador. She was Assistant Secretary of State in the Bill Clinton administration, and now she's the UN Ambassador. That's what I call change. Oh, yeah, real change. And, of course, she's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and she's on the Executive Committee of the Trilateral Commission. Now, we've got a man who's going to be the military, the top military advisor to Obama. And you know, he's going to bring great change. We have hope for him. His name is General James Jones. But wait, it turns out that he is also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. And then as Secretary of Defense, well, Obama has decided just to leave Bush's Secretary of Defense in there for at least another year, Bill Gates. And Gates is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Is it Gates? Robert Gates, yeah. Well, Bill Gates at Microsoft is Jewish. I get them mixed up sometime. By the way, Lawrence Summers, Clinton's Secretary of Treasury, is still looming. He's one of the top advisors, economic advisors to Obama. And by the way, he was also top advisor, economic advisor to Ronald Reagan. Let me get this. Ronald Reagan used Larry Summers, and Bill Clinton used Larry Summers, and now Obama. Do you mean there's not a dime's worth of difference between Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama? Well, not according to the Jews. They're just three little white boys. Uncle Tom's kids. Two of them, white DNA, one black DNA, but they're still Uncle Tom's kids. They reside in the cabin and told what to do. Larry Summers, by the way, head of the World Bank, deputy secretary treasurer under Robert Rubin, and a hedge fund operator. Hedge fund operator. A Wall Street crook type. And a member of the Bilderbergers, Council of Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission. Oh, boy, boy. It couldn't get any worse than this, friends. Tom Daschle is going to become the new health czar. He's going to oversee the automation and the computerization of everyone's medical records. They're going to follow you. They're going to know everything about your health. It's all going to be computerized. You'll probably be given the chip under your skin. It'll have all your medical records in it. And Tom Daschle, former, you know, Democratic leader in the Senate from the Midwest, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, he's going to be the new Secretary of Health and Human Services, the health czar. And they're going to, you know, pay for everybody, all the illegal aliens. They're going to get tens of billions of dollars they're going to give the illegal aliens for their health care. Boy, if I was a Mexican citizen down in Guadalajara or Juarez, I'd be licking my chops. I'm going to bring my whole family over, my uncles, my aunts, my cousins, my nephews, my nieces, bring hundreds of them over, free medical care under Tom Daschle. It just doesn't get much better than this, does it? Well, wait. I hadn't got to Democratic Congresswoman Hilda Solis. Now, you Mexican-American Obama lovers, do another flip-flop. She's another Mexican-American. I don't mind Mexican-Americans if they're true Americans who believe in the Constitution. They could even become president. I'll vote for them. But what about Hilda Solis? Well, she's a ranking member of La Raza. The corrupt, that's what, in my opinion, what they are, Mexican illegal immigration group. My. She's the Secretary of Labor. Secretary of Labor, she's really going to enforce that illegal immigration, isn't she? Enforce legal immigration. Or is it the other way? Friends, and by the way, I haven't even got to the fact that not one of the people he's chosen for all these cabinet positions is pro-life. Not one of them has adopted the Christian attitude about sodomy and homosexuality. In fact, I have LifeSiteNews.com here, a bulletin. It says, President-elect Obama selecting anti-life advocates for his cabinet. And they mention particularly the Homeland Security Director, Janet Napolitano. Says she has, quote, firmly established herself as an extreme abortion supporter who has even vetoed, as governor, she vetoed the partial birth abortion ban. She's for killing little babies, alive little babies. You know, putting those knives and forceps in and squashing the heads of the little babies in the womb, partial birth abortion. But then Obama voted for that too, as a senator from the state of Illinois. Well, the Sovietization of America by the secret society members, the Clintonistas, the CFR goons, the Kissinger trilateralist, and the Brzezinski trilateralist, ravage, plunder. That's all these people know. Woe is America. Pray for America. Pray for the truth. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. It's been my pleasure hosting today's program. We want to hear from you. Write to us, Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or go online to powerofprophecy.com. Send us an email. Love to hear from you. And until next time, may God richly bless you. And keep tuning in to Power of Prophecy.